And of course, welcome to The Pulse. We're back again. And as I say, pretty much every week, we like to bring on people who are important, significant, successful, making a difference, entertaining, all those things. And we've got another guest who is doing all of that today. We are happy to be joined by Zahn McLarnon, actor with a whole bunch of credits. We appreciate you spending some time with us on The Pulse. How are you, sir?
Good. It's good to be here. I appreciate you guys bringing me on.
I got to tell you, so we've been doing this show for a minute, for a couple months since February, and everybody involved in the show has their favorites so far. Our executive, or our producer, Ivana, loves you. She kept talking to me like, oh, we've got to get Zahn McLarnon on, and I saw him in this, and this. So you've got a huge fan there.
Oh, that's awesome. I appreciate the support so much. I really, really do.
We try to start off every show kind of giving people a chance, especially people with, you know, a list of accomplishments, to define themselves, because society is always trying to define. So when someone asks you that, how do you define your career and your successes?
Define it. You start off in this business and you hope to get to where I am today. I'm just very fortunate, extremely fortunate and grateful that I am a working actor. I did work hard at it, and I have been working hard at it for the last 30 years. And, it's just a wonderful time in for Native representation in film and television right now. It's a unique time that we're finally getting having a little bit of control over our stories and our narrative and the opportunity to tell our stories and for people to see it. I'm just fortunate. I don't know how to define my career. I started off when there wasn't very many jobs available for Native talent. Mm-hmm. And finally, these doors slowly have been opening up a little bit, each year for us. And again, it's just, they finally have opened up so you can kind of peek your head out. I think we have a ways to go yet, but I'm very grateful and fortunate that I'm living in a time where, those doors are opened up a little bit more.
But because you've been doing it for 30 years and had roles for significant periods of time, you say that it's a great time right now. How has it been watching it change? Like, in the middle of it, did you see that progress, or was it frustrating along the way?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I started off in the early 90s as an actor. I moved out here. And from that point until now, a lot of things have changed slowly over the last 30 years now. Wow, it's 30 years. I can't believe it's been 30 years. But, sure, it was frustrating having to, the only opportunities that we had as Indigenous actors was, riding horses and yipping and yelling and getting shot and, yeah. Playing the stoic kind of stereotypical tropes that were written for us. And it's just wonderful to see that we're finally getting control of our own narrative and we're telling our own stories. I'm still riding on the shoulders of my predecessors, though. Mm-hmm. Chief Dan Georges, the Will Sampsons, the Jay Silverheels, they kind of paved the road for me. And I hope that shows like Dark Winds and Reservation Dogs and Rutherford Falls, open those doors and pave that road even more for future people in front of the camera and behind the camera as well.
And I definitely want to explore that, because Dark Winds in a lot of ways is historic. So we will talk about the kind of the progress that represents. But going back to your point of standing on kind of the shoulders of greatness, I'm always curious when I talk to people and just in general about diversity in Hollywood. Is that an honor or a burden? Is it an honor that you've continued to work and you've made this progress, you know, or is it a burden that you kind of have to shoulder that as you continue to go forward?
I don't know if it's a burden. You know, there's a responsibility there as an Indigenous actor to represent your community in a good way, not just on camera, but personally, you know, in your daily life. That's really important to me to be an example to the younger generation, to share my experiences, my strengths, my hopes, and just to represent my community in a positive way is important. I take that on, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm obviously on television, and my face is seen a lot by the community, and I want to represent them in a positive way, and I want to make sure that we're doing things authentically, and we are putting the right people in place so we do tell these stories authentically. And you know, I've taken that onto my shoulders. I don't think it's really much of a burden, though. You know,
okay. So maybe responsibility is a better choice of words.
It is a responsibility, you know, and I'm willing to take that on. You know, I really am. I all I can do is walk the talk. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you know, and try to be the best person I can. And you know, carry myself in that way.
I will share with you that we do research, obviously, before we talk to everybody. And you know those pages that list everybody's accomplishments? I have to send you the link. There was one on you, and in one of the lines, it says, has never been associated with any controversy or negative issues in his career. I saw that and went, you know, and obviously there have been things that you stood for and things that you fought for, and we can explore that. But it was interesting seeing somebody with a successful career that didn't have that asterisk next to it. So owning that responsibility, it seems like you've been doing that for a minute.
Yeah, you know, I have principles and you know, I have a moral code as well. You know, I'm a human being though, and I've certainly had my controversy in my past history. You know, I struggled quite a bit as a younger man. I struggled with addiction, and you know, along with that addiction comes a lot of controversy. Yeah. You know, I'm certainly not an angel. You know what I mean? I've been able to get those addictions under control in the last 22 years. And I'm a sober man. I don't, and I take that responsibility. And that's kind of what I want to project out to my community is a responsible, sober man. And, but, you know, I've like everybody, we've all had our controversies, and we've all had our ups and downs in our lifetime. And I guess taking responsibility for them and changing is important to me, and I take pride in that.
And maybe doing that is what wipes it out of that section on those websites. Owned, you know, the issues that he has dealt with in the past, let's move on. Yeah. So same thing. Let's talk about Dark Winds. I mean, there's been 80 plus, again, in doing research, roles that you've played, movies, TV, et cetera. But Dark Winds, in a lot of ways, historic, I guess, because I'm reading about it, historic for Native Americans on film, behind the scenes, responsible for it. Tell me about Dark Winds and why it matters, above and beyond just being a great show.
Well, yeah. I mean, so along with Reservation Dogs and Rutherford Falls right now, we're putting together these stories that are written, directed, and starring Native American Indigenous talent, as well as a lot of the crew members as well. And Reservation Dogs, we shoot down in Oklahoma, and a lot of the crew are Indigenous. And Dark Winds as well, a lot of the crew, we shot that down in Santa Fe. We shot it all on tribal lands. 90% of it was shot on tribal lands. The Tsuki Pueblo, as well as Ocoee de Pueblo. And so these things are important, and they are groundbreaking, that that we're finally being able to get these our indigenous talent in these positions, as well as producing the shows. And that is groundbreaking, because it's never really been done, and it's just happened in the last few years that we've been doing these shows. And it's just a wonderful time for representation in TV and film for us.
Yeah. I feel like people should understand it, but for people who don't understand why it's so important to have that control and self-determination, help them understand.
Well, we get to tell our own stories, you know, from our perspective, and that's important. We don't have to rely on white males, you know, which have dominated this business for, you know, since the beginning of this business. And we're finally able to take our own narrative and to put it down on paper and to get it produced and the public to see it. And that's extremely important. You know, we've been telling our own stories for thousands of years, though, you know, and we're finally, we're getting an audience to be able to delve into these different cultures. And that's important, to break some of these tropes and stereotypes that white men have told about us. And we're finally becoming visible to the general population, to society, and that people are finally seeing these aspects of these different tribes and these cultures, and opening their eyes to it. Those stereotypes and myths that are about Native Americans are finally being broken. I think that's really important. And the only way they're going to be broken is through us controlling our own stories.
So tell us what we will see. And you've mentioned a couple different shows that you participate in, but specifically Dark Winds, because Dark Winds brand new, you know, so this is a new experience for people to see. So when they turn it on, what are they going to see?
Well, they're going to see, first off, they're going to see a crime, mystery, kind of film noir, Southwestern Native film noir, which is pretty, it's brand new. I mean, I don't think people have ever seen that, other than the other productions that were put into place in the 90s about with Tony Ellerman's books. But you know, it's been a few decades that Robert Redford has been trying to keep this going and these stories alive. And you know, it's you're going to see, you know, these arcing kind of universals, but within a Native narrative. And I think that's some brand new things I think people are going to enjoy and get excited and be inspired by these new stories.
Do you think that society, when you talk about the diversity in Hollywood and telling your own story, I think a lot of times in, you know, in my community, African-American community, that battle is a lot more in people's face. It's larger numbers. It's people saying, respect us. Is it a harder lift? Because I don't know that society has been as aware as we should be of those similar struggles for Native Americans in Hollywood.
Well, look at the way we grew up in our school systems. You know, our history wasn't taught, you know, and we're finally getting the opportunity to control those narratives. And, you know, the way I grew up, you know, my history and knowing about my culture and stuff was not taught in school. So yeah, we're struggling. We've been struggling for decades and we've been struggling for 500 years to tell our own stories. And we're finally getting an opportunity to do that. And hopefully, you know, the public and society will embrace these stories. And I think they will, you know, as long as we're telling exciting stories like Dark Winds and Reservation Dogs and Rutherford Falls, I think people will embrace these these narratives. But it is a heavy lift. But I'm seeing, slowly I've been seeing change within TV and film. And I hope to continue to see more change, because I think we still have a long way to go. And I'm not just talking about indigenous representation. I'm talking about African-American. I'm talking about Asian representation, Hispanic representation. I think we all got a long ways to go, but I don't see it going back. You know what I mean? I think that the trend will continue, and my hopes that it will continue. But I think that people today are open to it, and that are seeing that these stories are rich and are deep, and they're going to want more of them.
Yeah, it's always interesting and encouraging. We try to walk down the positive path, and we'll get to one of our segments, Use Your Voice for Good, at some point. But it is encouraging that you're in it. You know, we had a comedian Monique on not that long ago, and I asked her about Hollywood changing, and she wasn't quite as encouraged as you are. It's interesting that you're in it, and it's encouraging that you're in it, and you see things moving in the right direction.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I've been doing this for a few decades now, and it's it is moving in the right direction, but I think we still have a long ways to go. I think paving the road for future generations is important to me, for again talent in front of the camera and behind the cameras, getting more indigenous people in job positions, in networks, executives. I think that's extremely important, that we have a stronger voice when it pertains to networks and training the right people to get in those positions. And shows like Dark Winds and Reservation Dogs, Rutherford Falls, are going to open those doors up more and more for those future generations that want to get into this business.
Looking through your background, your history page is like 15 pages long, but when you get to where we stand right now, there's a couple other things that you have in the works as well. So what else should we look forward to you coming out with in the next year or so?
So we have the second season of Reservation Dogs coming out in August, which I'm a part of, which they just won a Peabody Award, which is absolutely amazing.
Congratulations.
It's so amazing. I'm so proud of Sterling Harjo and so proud of Taika created the show. I'm proud of the cast. And it's a wonderful thing that you get a Peabody Award. I was part of Fargo, which also got a Peabody Award. And to go down in history of part of my legacy of being on two shows that won Peabody Awards is quite an accomplishment. And I'm very fortunate and very proud to be a part of those shows. We have a new Marvel show coming out called Echo, which is based on a character from the show that came out last year. Oh my God, it's escaping me right now. But it's based on a character called Echo, which is a deaf Native American superhero. And it's a spinoff from Hawkeye. I'm sorry.
Yes.
The show, the spinoff, which they have put a wonderfully talented Native actress named Alakwa Cox, who's from the Menominee Reservation in Wisconsin. They found her and put her in this role, and she's just a strong, powerful human being that happens to be deaf, and she's also an amputee as well. And they've spun it off to a show called Echo. And I'm a part of that show along with Graham Greene and Tantu Cardinale and Chaske Spencer, Cody Lightning. And so that should be coming out within the next year as well. I have a movie called National Anthem, written and directed by the talented Tony Toast, that should be out probably, I would say, in the winter or fall. It was a wonderful thing to be a part of, that touches on some Native identity issues, and as well as some of the culture on the Pine Ridge Reservation, and also some of the political movements that happened in the 70s that are still going on today with the American Indian Movement. So those are some exciting things that are coming out that I'm involved with.
Can you stay busy? It's not a situation where you're hurting for work any time throughout your career.
Very fortunate privileged to be a part of these productions.
Couple more things. We always look for people who have accomplished, people who are serving as role models for various communities. What's your advice for the next generation who's trying to get to where you are?
Do the work, you know. Do the work. Do prepare yourself. If that means going to school, if that means studying acting, if that means writing or going to getting a degree in writing, just the work, the focus, and just putting the work in. I can't stress how important to dedicate, if that's what you want to do, dedicating your life to the work.
Yeah, it's on a side note quickly. It's interesting you say that because, again, in reading up on you, they were talking about your preparation, almost legendary. Like you learned additional languages for the roles that you were playing.
Sure. You know, you don't necessarily learn the whole language, obviously. You're given, you know, dialogue that might be in a different language. There's hundreds of indigenous languages. You know, there's hundreds of different dialects within just the United States, with the tribes in the United States. So, you know, it's not all one universal language. We all have our individual cultures. And even within that, we have individuals within those different tribes and those cultures. So I'm given pieces of those languages in dialogue. But it's difficult to memorize, and it's difficult to get the nuances of those languages and to get the syllables and the right way to pronounce those words and the gutturals and the nasal sounds of the Navajo language and the guttural sounds of the Navajo language. It takes just focus, you know. You get, you know, and having in the right consultants in place to learn those words, and it's just a matter of locking yourself into a room and learning them and memorizing them and taking direction from these consultants. And it's very important to me as an individual to make sure that I do the best job I possibly can with those individual languages, because they are sacred to those individual tribes, and I want to do them justice. So it's very important to me as an individual to make sure I get them right.
You're humble. It's important. I agree with you. But I think it's much deeper than just lock yourself in and focus. Like that's work. And it's work that you have to be committed to, because you can't tiptoe through something like that. You have to care.
No, I don't personally. I don't tiptoe through that. We, for an example, in Dark Winds, we have a Navajo prayer that I have to do, and it's a long prayer, and I thought it would be better for me to do it in a voiceover, I'm kind of spoiler alert on stuff, but there's a long prayer that I have to do, and I wanted to make sure that it was done properly. I wanted to make sure I got every syllable right and every nasal and guttural right to do it justice. So we ended up doing it in the studio, and I had the wonderful Taft Black Horse, which was one of our cultural advisors, come into the studio and kind of, you know, guide me through that to make sure that I got every word right and I pronounced it right. And that was very important to me as an individual to do that.
Yeah, take the opportunity seriously. Two more, and then I'm going to let you go. I appreciate you spending this much time. I know you got a lot going on, as is clear. We try to, as I pointed out, end every show with the concept of use your voice for good. Is it a nonprofit you're working towards? Is it a message that you just want people to have? When presented with use your voice for good, what does that mean to you?
Use your voice for good. I'm work with the American Indian College Fund. I do some promotion for them. I think the main thing, as I touched on before, is using my voice and my platform for good in the way of being just a positive example for youth, not just for Indigenous people, but just for the human race, just being a kind person, being trying to be open and just being the best example I possibly can.
We get why you are Ivana's favorite.
Difficult question, you know, to kind of expound on. You know, going back and spending time with my people, I went up to LNI, which is the Lakota Nation Invitational. It's a huge basketball tournament for the kids from different reservations in South Dakota that we have every year in Rapid City. And to go up and to represent my people in a good way is very important to me, and to be an example to those youth that, you know, they could do anything that they want to do if they, like I touched on before, focus on and do the work, and being that example. That's, I don't know any other way to put it.
I think you put it well. I thank you. I appreciate it. This has been an enjoyable conversation. We see why you are our producer's favorite. Now you're one of ours as well. And respect. We wish you continued success.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the support. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time. Thanks for spending time with us on The Pulse. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to The Pulse today with Zahn McLarnon. One of the things that I enjoy so much about this is that you get the opportunity to learn from people who are doing interesting things and impactful things. And he falls into that category. Admittedly, I did not know as much about his career and the struggles, the parallels that exist between Native American community and other ethnic minorities trying to break through barriers that exist in Hollywood. And I absolutely respect his positive attitude, his commitment, while he continues to try to make a difference while also having a successful career. So I absolutely enjoyed the time with him. I hope you did as well. Remember, if you're in Philadelphia and you'd like to watch The Pulse on TV, 6:30, Monday evenings on Fox 29 every week. Also 9 p.m. nationally on Fox Soul. You can always download the various episodes and make sure you're following me at Bill A. Fox 29 on all social media platforms. Once again, thank you so much for listening to The Pulse with Bill Anderson. We'll be back to do it all again next week. And remember, whenever you can, use your voice for good, and have a good day.